welcome to Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM, right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. Today is January 26, 2020, and if it's not where you're listening, then you're listening to a rebroadcast of the show or a podcast and should not be trying to call in. I'm Dotter Five, and as usual, we have Wombat on the phone with us. Hello, Wombat.
Hey, it's the Wombat. Happy to be here. Hey. I'm melting. No, I'm melting.
Hopefully not. And also guest Boudreaux, Campfire Conversations, and
Dread is that right? Pirate Higgs.
Dread Pirate Higgs. There you go. Did I leave anyone out? No. Good.
Good.
A Digital Free Thought Radio Hour is a call-in talk radio show about atheism, free thought, rational thought, humanism, and the sciences. And conversely, we'll also talk about religion, religious faiths, gods, holy books, and superstition. And if you get the feeling that you're the only non-believer in Knoxville, or in East Tennessee for that matter, well, you're just not. There are several atheist, free-thinking, and rationalist groups that exist right here in Knoxville, and we'll be telling you how you can connect with them right after the mid-show breaks. Also, did you know that there's an atheist call-in TV show broadcasting right here in Knoxville? It has been for almost 10 years. Did you know that, Wombat?
I don't like to watch actors pat themselves on the back,
what?
Sir. No, trophies and the small little glitz and glamour. Just act and enjoy your paychecks. You don't have to make a big deal out of this.
I think you got our show mixed up with the Oscars. This is not the Oscars.
Oh, okay.
Or any other award show, for that matter. It's two atheists taking calls from the audience, and it's right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. We'll tell you more about that after the show break in the middle, too. Also, and in spite of what Steve Martin would have you think, there are an awful lot of atheist songs out there, and you'll be hearing them right here on this program and generally on this station as they are in rotation. And today's topic is institutionalized religious privilege.
Oh,
I can't imagine that being true here in America. But we'll dive into that. What do you got, Wombat?
Dread Pirate actually brought up this topic, and I'd love to hear more about it. But before we get into the meat and potatoes, we have a new visitor on this call, Campfire Conversations. Hey, what's up?
Hey, Campfire.
Howdy from Texas.
Howdy from Texas. You're in the Mecca. Are you near Austin, by the way?
I am near Austin, yes.
Isn't Austin like the little Mecca for
you
like
are
all
in Austin?
I am just cool. Outside of Austin, yeah. Actually, I recently went down and met with Anthony Magnabosco about some stuff. And,
look at you.
So, yeah, the street epistemology scene is very alive down here. So.
Yeah, did you rub shoulders with Matt Dillahunty?
Yeah.
I have. I played a little Cronkinole or whatever that game he's been playing lately with him a couple months ago.
Very cool. Huh. You mind telling us what your channel's about and how we can get to it?
Yeah,
sure. I'm Campfire Convos on YouTube, and I just kind of started going out doing some street epistemology in the north of Austin area in Williamson County. And more uniquely, I came up with an idea to maybe do a collaborative street epistemology exercise where I had the people on Discord asking the questions to a close relative of mine instead of me asking the questions. And that kind of went over, that's kind of neat. And so I'm kind of working towards doing more of those.
What I really love about Campfire Convo's point is that he's always experimenting. That collaborative SE project is really cool because if you're too shy to maybe go out and do it yourself, you have all the convenience of doing it from your phone or computer with another live setup. It's really amazing.
Yeah, it was really fun. It was definitely different, and people seemed to enjoy it. And I happened to have a really interesting interlocutor that day. The video is called Lauren. If you look on YouTube for Campfire Convos, that's the name of the video. But anyway, if you watch it, you can see how interactive it was and how the people were just asking the questions, and I was really just kind of relaying it through a moderator. So it was an interesting thing. And then we got another one coming up this upcoming weekend.
Very cool.
On Saturday night.
Do you mind telling me some of the easiest and hardest things about doing SE for you?
Oh, sure. The hardest thing easily for me has been feeling like I'm bothering people as we're walking by. I do the stand-up SE thing, kind of like Anthony, I guess. I'm actually thinking about doing some tabletop stuff like you do, but I'm the hardest thing for me is just bothering people initially. I feel like... bothered kind of thing, so I'm kind of like, you know, have to have this spiel going on about why I'm, you know, I'm not gonna murder you or something like you. Just trying to talk to you about your belief systems.
Yeah, or sell you a Bible.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Or sell me, exactly right. Or try to teach them something or something like that. Really, obviously, it's just asking questions. It's very benign, and I'm trying to get that message across at the very beginning of the conversation. And I find that sort of the most awkward thing for me personally.
Can I throw something out?
And then
on top of that, I had that same feeling, and it wasn't until I saw Reed's video that I thought, oh, you can do this at a table. That's really good.
Yeah,
but
right. But then I met Boudreaux, who invited me to his home because he did something called the Summit, where he just invites a bunch of friends over to his den. And in a round table, we have a very philosophical religious discussion about like what's true, what's not true. And I found that once everyone's already at a venue working with each other, you don't have to worry about that awkward interaction anymore. Do you want to talk about the Summit real quick? Is that pretty accurate?
Yeah, sure. And thanks for kind words. It's a fun thing we've been doing about 4 years. Started off where I just kind of invited people that I knew kind of maybe had similar thoughts about religion. And we all kind of just broke the ban on having these conversations because, you know, they're taboo, taboo, but people just wouldn't talk about it. And especially, you know, with your, acquaintances and whatnot. But, my buddy Chad and I just said, you know, let's just do this. And so now it's at the point where we listen to a lot of Sam Harris and get a lot of cool ideas from that. But we have experiments and conversation where we talk about tough topics that no one wants to talk about. And we bring in people who are religious, not religious, unsure, you know, on the fence, spiritualist, everybody. So it is. It's a lot of fun. But you're right. We don't have that awkward, except for when we may occasionally get a new person in, a little unsure how the fart jokes are going to go over.
Or all the Star Wars paraphernalia.
I agree with Ty. The easiest way to do it is just put up a table, put up a sign, and then people come to you. You don't have to worry about that awkwardness at all.
Yeah, you tend to attract only introverts that way, but I mean extroverts. Uh-huh. But that's a good thing because people want to talk to you when they sit down across from you. And that's what Larry and I both do. I think there's another strategy to this. Dread Pirate Higgs actually makes like a more intimate setting where he like sets up a time at a coffee shop and has chats over coffee.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I find it actually attracts a different kind of person, someone that knows me usually, so that we have a history and a relationship already, so that it helps with the rapport building.
It's really good. So there's like so many different ways that you can do this, and I think Campfire Combo is demonstrating that he can push the boundaries and find even new cooler ways of getting like more people involved. So yeah, just keep experimenting. What would you say is some of the easier things, Campfire?
What's that?
What would you say is some of the easier things?
Oh, yeah, the easier things. I happen to be able to talk to people once I get going after that initial sort of awkwardness that's on my part. I am able to actually talk to people relatively easy. I find it just asking the questions is much easier and much more natural maybe than having to argue or debate with somebody. So that's what turned me on to it initially.
You're doing a great job at it too.
Yeah. As a biker, we have a saying, you know, a motorcyclist, this is not how far you ride or how you ride or what you ride, it's that you ride.
Nice.
You know. And the same thing with these conversations. It's not really how you do it or how long they are or anything like that. It's the fact that you're out there doing it.
Yeah.
So kudos to you no matter how you do it.
Exactly. All right. You guys ready to buckle up and talk about some privilege?
Let's get her done.
Dread Pirate, why don't you walk us through the basis of this?
Okay. Well, I'm from British Columbia, Canada. So up here, we have our public school system like everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And a good portion of the public education funding goes to support schools that foster a particular religious viewpoint, such as Christianity or Muslims.
What the religion is?
No. There's like Christian public schools.
Really?
So, yes.
Oh, wow.
And so that's, you know, that's a big part of, you know, the religious privilege is that we are all paying into our tax base, yeah. And these funds are now being apportioned out to a smaller, increasingly smaller demographic.
Yeah. Well, what about like Muslim public schools and yeah. Scientology same public thing. Schools?
Well, they do have Muslim and Christian for sure. So I was just going to point out a couple of stats that I'm aware of. So 2016 was our last census where religion was taken into account as a question. Yeah. And in BC, 44.1% identified as irreligious.
Hmm. Wow.
Yeah. And the national average on the increase of irreligious identification was 7.7%. So if you just do some math, and at 2021, you add 7.7 to 44.1, you have over half the population of BC identifying as irreligious. And yet, I suspect that as much funding will go to religious public schools as does now. So that's where I'm getting at with religious prejudice and the real impact it has on us all.
I've just never heard of a Christian public school before. Like when I heard that, I was thinking private. It's like, no, public, you're paying taxes to support this school.
And it's yes. Wow. Sounds like an oxymoron.
Yeah.
Is that only in British Columbia? Or is
it's public as long as you're Christian.
Right. Or is that all in Canada? I mean, is it just the BC area?
No, it's all in Canada. It's all part of the same sort of mindset. Yeah.
Did not know that.
With 41%, yep. What's the response from the demographics about this? Like, are they generally supportive?
No, they don't support it. I mean, it depends on who you talk to. I mean, I'm only talking to the people that, rail against it, right? So it's a little bit of confirmation bias there. Mm. But the BC Humanist Association, it's something they're working against, in the Human Association across Canada. So, these are these little bastions of religious privilege that we're struggling against. It's something that the Pastafarians, of course, are always trying to draw attention to by just, pointing out that, everyone, there's no delusion that's any more true than any other delusion, right?
Right.
It's all delusion. If you're going to be, supporting with tax dollars one person's, delusion at the exclusion of other delusions, we got a problem.
Hmm. I really like that phrase. There's no delusion any more true than any other delusion.
Right. yeah, exactly.
It's a good point.
Yeah, of course, they would take exception to the word delusion.
Oh, of course. Yeah, I wouldn't use that as a, how you put it, a persuasive tactic, but it's definitely something I'm thinking in my head. And it should be.
Yeah.
I'm things like that really dishearten me. I'm not sure how to put a positive spin on it aside from just, piling on more examples of religious privilege, maybe even in the U.S.
No, I'm sure, yeah.
And U.S. politics is in a really, really weird place.
Right? Yes, I understand that Trump is going to be attending an anti-abortion rally or something like that.
I don't know. It wouldn't surprise me if that was true. I would say, like, on a smaller scale, like, how does this touch, like, the standard U.S. American? Like, way back when, I remember saying the Pledge of Allegiance and reading somewhere that under God was not part of the original
right.
pledge. And that was because we were reading in a history book, like, the actual pledge. I was like, hey, under God's not in this. What happened? And I found out that it was only inserted in much later after the fact. And I was like, what? That's weird.
Yeah, but at the time, 54, I think, something like that.
Yeah. And so now it turned what used to be like this, symbol of like, standard patriotism to, now that I'm outside of religion, sort of like this weird indoctrinational pledge that children are forced to do on a daily basis. Yeah. And I'm like, wow, this is really, really bizarre to have a bunch of kids just, you know, spell this out. Because when I was a kid, I didn't know even what I was saying.
And well, some of us were born before Under God was in the pledge, like me.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, yeah. 1950 Coin Act put Under God on our money. Was that also before your time, too? Or do you remember that?
In God We Trust?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like 54, 57, something.
Yeah, it all happened around the same time. I just watched a show on it, actually. It was quite interesting.
Oh. Well, tell me about it.
Well, it was just pointing out that, again, as Dutter says, that it was around the 50s after the war that all of a sudden this push to get religion in, to make the U.S. a Christian nation,
right,
as it were.
Right.
All of a sudden, In God We Trust was everywhere, and it became part of your credo.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't it in response to sort of anti-communist sentiment?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, a Cold War sort of assault. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But a really, really advantageous move on, like, you know, the Christian right in general to just be like, hey, let's insert ourselves into this situation, right? You remember us.
Right.
Uh-huh. Gary.
Really quiet.
Gary,
yes.
I'm challenging the idea of institutional religious privilege. It sounds more as if it's just Christian privilege, at least as far as the West goes. Yeah, mm-hmm. Religious privilege in general, like all around the world, like whatever your most prevalent flavor is, that's going to be the one that takes in charge. But at least as far as the Western world is concerned, it's definitely Christian based.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I've as a pastafarian, I've been working at having my driver's license while wearing my tricorn. Since I'm the captain of the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster here in BC,
right.
I wear tricorn as a regular practice. And so I've been struggling with ICBC since 2016 to have that right, to freely express myself under the Charter of Rights and Freedoms, which guarantee expression of religious or guarantee religious expression.
Right.
And I currently have a complaint in with the BC Human Rights Tribunal. I'm waiting to, go filter through their screening process to see what their response is and to see about moving this forward, maybe changing some of these discriminatory policies that seem to pop up every once in a while.
And that's actually a really good nuanced point of view. Like all of us on this call right now, some of us are religious, but we all are atheists, which means you can be both at the same time too.
Right.
You can have the religion without the baggage of, you know, a God belief that tells you what to do unquestionably. You know, or
many of the Eastern religions are without God.
Right. You
know, yeah. Like Hinduism, for instance.
Confucianism, Taoism,
Buddhism. Yeah.
Jainism. Yeah. So I'm wondering, like, what if we had religious privilege for a more innocuous belief system? Would that make you feel any better? Like, if we said, okay, we're switching this from, you know, Christian to Confucianism, where it's like, hey, just be good because, or don't be good. You don't have to be good, but don't be bad because that leads to more bad. But you have the right to be good, which gives good value. Like all those sayings, would that be an improvement?
No, not personally. I don't think so. I think we've just got to get rid of the whole thing. I mean, idea of past experiences is that, you know, the separation of church and state has to be complete. Mm. There is no overlap.
Right.
Just stay the heck out of government with your religion. Because ultimately, if the government comes to a point where it decides what the religion of the country is going to be, it won't be the one you believe in.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Right. And it will probably outlaw yours.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I've made the point, certainly in my Human Rights Tribunal complaint, that there is no test of faith. So if a Sikh walks into the driver's services and, you know, he's in a community of Sikhs and has a Sikh wife and works with Sikhs in his job, that, and may be an atheist.
Yeah.
But since he's kind of ensconced in that environment, he feels compelled to identify as a Sikh, irrespective of the fact that he's not. So he can go in and have his picture taken with his turban on without holding a genuine belief.
Right.
So since there is no test of faith, I challenge that they cannot say that my faith is ridiculous or, you know, believing in the flying spaghetti monster. Well, he can't possibly believe in that.
Yeah, it's like, well, who are you to say
that? Who are you to say that, right? Hey, you know, the scientists come up with spaghettification and neutron stars are made of four kinds of pasta. I mean, you know, seriously, I mean, you could really, you know, you could build an argument pretty solid around this.
Yeah, so, string theory is just pasta theory when you really think about it.
That's right. That's right. Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, when the extension cord gets tangled, that's an expression of the spaghetti monster fussing with your stuff. Yeah, that's the way I look at it.
Yeah.
I like that.
But if I had to, and this is coming from like a chemistry background, if I had to break down really important scientific terms into varieties of pasta and Italian dishes, I could totally do it. It's not impossible. It's not a leap.
No,
of logic.
It's not impossible.
Not only that, but it's an easier leap than saying a snake is giving dietary advice to nudists. You know, like
right.
It's less of a jump.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
There is a really cool thing that happened to me, and I finally remember what I was going to talk about. I had to renew my license plate, and I'm in a I'm in a new state. I'm in Tennessee. I keep getting confused with Kentucky. You swear they look the same. It's just like, okay, red bricks, Walmart. Got it. Red brick, Walmart, trees. But you have an option when you get a Kentucky license plate. When I was up there, you have an option, and the two options are a license plate that says Unbridled Spirit, because they're all about horses up there, or you get a license plate that says In God We Trust. And when you go up there,
those are the two options.
Those
that's
are the,
it
the, well it, when you get the one that is like the cheapest one.
the two free options are the most expensive.
Okay, and so you basically, when I saw that, I was like, whoa. So every single person has a choice of which two to pick. And that catchphrase is the only difference between the two. And so, of course, I picked Unbridled Spirit, right? But now in my head, I'm looking at every other license plate around me in the parking lot, when I'm on the highway, when I'm at schools, and I'm being like, where are all the In God We Trust license plates? Because for the most majority of like where I was living, most of them were Unbridled Spirit. Bujo, do you feel the same way? Do you see like mostly a far greater proportion of Unbridled Spirits than In God We Trust?
I cannot believe you brought this up, because I have been I have been observing this in the last several months.
Nice.
I know,
great minds.
Yeah. So you've been gone a little while now, and I don't know if there's been an uptick in it, but I have noticed a lot of In God We Trust license plates.
You've noticed an influx.
Someone brought up a statistical thing recently. Maybe it wasn't this podcast. It was another. But availability bias, maybe. But in any event, I'm wondering though too if I'm caught by the now that I'm noticing it, I'm paying attention, and how many times do I look at a license plate and don't see In God We Trust? Therefore, I don't think about it. So
right.
I don't, you know, so who knows what's going on. But one thing I have noticed, being that I work with a lot of data in Kentucky, and I know a lot of the counties, and we have 120 counties, which is ridiculous for the size of Kentucky. But most of the time when I see In God We Trust, I zoom right down below it to see what county they're from. And almost always it's a rural or a smaller county near bigger cities or farther away. So I'm in Lexington in Fayette County. Most of the time when I see a license plate, it's someone from out of town.
Right. But
population
density is way lower over there too.
Yes. Right? Yes. I mean, they're more rural, yes, absolutely. But the other thing
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, the other thing I thought that might be playing into it is when I pointed this out to my wife, she's like, oh, I didn't even know there was an option for the In God We Trust. I just got the. So I wonder if smaller communities, their DMVs, their county clerks, whoever's given, I wonder if they kind of push it a little bit more.
That's the point I was making. Or they could just say they're out of the particular one. You know, oh, we're out of those now. You need the other one.
Mm.
Push it at you.
You have to opt out of it instead of opting in. Yeah.
Oh, man. I really want to look into this more. But we're right at the half of the show. We got to do a caller ID identification.
Oh, good. Session. I can refresh my coffee.
Nice. Larry, do you mind taking us out?
Okay, this is WOZO Radio 103.9 LP FM live right here in Knoxville. Well, we're live. You're probably not listening to this live since it's probably a podcast or a Wednesday broadcast on the FM. Anyway, we're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a minute. See you then.
You're listening to the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on WOZO 103.9 LP FM in Knoxville, Tennessee. Feel free to join in on the conversation at 865-333-5937. That's 865-333-5937. And now, back to the show. Digital Free Thought Radio Hour.
Simply the best.
Welcome back. I'm Dotter 5, and this is the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on WOZO Radio, right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. That's 103.9 LPFM here in Knoxville. Today is January 26th on 2020, and if it's not, then you're listening to a rebroadcast of the show and should not be trying to call in. Let's talk about the free thought groups that you can join right here in Knoxville. First, there's the Atheist Society of Knoxville, founded in 2002. We're in our 18th year now. ASK has like 990 members right now.
Come 10 on.
More will go over 1,000. And you can find us online at KnoxvilleAtheist.org, or you can go directly to Meetup or Google for that matter and search for Knoxville Atheists. It's just that simple. And you can join ASK in person if you live in Knoxville at our weekly meetup, which happens every Tuesday night at Barley's Tap Room and Pizzeria in Knoxville's Old City, where we get together for food, drink, and conversation. Everyone is welcome. That is, as long as you don't come to preach, proselytize, provoke, or punch. Thank you, Atheist Experience. By the way, if you don't live in Knoxville, if you don't live in Knoxville, you should still go to meetup and search for an atheist group in your town. Don't find one.
Start one.
Another large free-thinking group here in Knoxville are the Rationalists of East Tennessee. They've been around for more than 20 years. RET has biweekly presentations and discussions every other week at Pellissippi State Campus near Hardin Valley Road. That's the first and third Sundays. If that's too much to remember, just go to rationalist.org and click on upcoming events. Earlier in the show, we said we'd talk about the Atheist Call-In TV show. Well, it's called Free Thought Forum, and you can see it every Wednesday between 6:30 and 7:30 on Comcast Channel 12 or Charter 192. Wombat, if you get a pencil, I'll repeat that for you. And maybe you can see it. Or you can watch it streaming online at ctvknox.org. You can also find archive of some of our shows on YouTube, where a fan has been posting them. Just go to YouTube and search for three words, Free Thought Forum Knoxville. Also, if you're interested in getting involved with the TV or the radio show, just come to an ASK meeting or RET meeting and talk to us about it. You could be our next co-host or guest. With us on the show are the Wombat.
Hey.
Hello, Wombat. We also have Boudreaux, Campfire Conversations, and Red Pirate Hicks. Say hi, y'all.
Boudreaux here.
Howdy.
Hi, all.
Welcome. Wow, that was like perfectly paced. Great job, guys.
Y'all texting in the background? Anyway, okay. We were talking about religious privilege and our society.
Go for it.
Well, I was just going to make a correction to an earlier statement. So when I said that there's public religious schools, they're actually called independent. So they get subsidies, right, from the public tax coffers. So they're not completely paid for by the public tax dollar. Yeah. But again, it does, you know, indicate that some funding is being channeled from the public tax coffers into a private religious group.
I mean, yeah, we're seeing more and more of that here in America, especially with this current Secretary of Education who's pushing vouchers. which is the same thing as subsidies to religious schools.
Mm. On a way more fundamental level, we have churches that are huge and sprawling on almost nearly every block here in Tennessee where I'm at, and none of them have to pay property taxes, which means that the school districts that those churches are in basically cut away funding from that school. And it tends to be the case that, like, the schools that are nearby churches aren't very well funded and tend to be, you know, demographic for more minorities compared to the higher advantage schools that have no churches nowhere nearby. And they not only have plenty of taxes, but a lot of alumni personal contributions and stuff like that too. It's just, it's a real shame. To throw more fuel on this fire, I remember in Kentucky, Boudreaux's listening again, you would see cop cars, and on the bumper, they would say things like, "In God We Trust," or "God's First," or something like that. And I'd be like, "This is on a cop car." Like, and and it wasn't a big deal until, like, I knew I was already an atheist, and I was just like, wow, I have an American Atheist emblem on my car. And I was afraid of putting it on my car that first day. I thought, like, people would instantly recognize it and maybe, like, you know, vandalize my vehicle. Thankfully, that did not happen. But it was a concern that I had that I imagine people who put, like, a Jesus fish on their car don't have, you know?
Right. And it raises the concern of how much justice you'd actually get from a police officer who has "In God We Trust" on your car. If you do have an atheist fish or something on yours, it shouldn't be there. But that's one of the problems that we have for having a religious motto for the United States.
Right.
And most people don't care. You know, the religious people generally don't care. And therefore it just stays. You do.
And I was talking to Carl about this earlier this week. The idea of challenging people who say, "Oh, I'm Christian." For example, Reed Nicewander just posted a video on his channel, Cordial Curiosity, where he had a conversation with someone who was Islam. My sister's Muslim. And so my younger sister is Muslim. And so I was saying, like, there's no such thing as one Islam in the same sense as there's no such thing as one Christianity. There are so many demographics, and it could be different from whatever temple you're going to, whatever mosque you're going to, whatever church you go attend, from one street to another. First Side Baptist Church, Second Street Baptist Church.
Sure.
Completely different. And the rules they accept and the rules they don't accept, dress codes, what versions of the Bible they use, what chapters they go over, all of those can be entirely unique. And because of that, when people say, "Hey, I'm a Christian," it's sort of like a personal delusion that they are a part of this zeitgeist that everyone agrees with them, and they just in an ambiguous way, and they don't really have to have any of their beliefs challenged because they all basically believe the same God. And I'm like, no.
Well, the thing about it is that's what empowers "In God We Trust" as a motto. You know, everybody thinks it's their God.
Exactly.
Or, you know, and they never question it. They're just actually glad to see it.
Yes. Just like, oh, I'm glad someone is sponsoring my God on their car. It's just like, no, I'm a Mormon. You're a Catholic. We're completely different. It's like, oh, but we're both Christian. It's like,
we're Scientologists.
Yeah.
So if I'm out doing an SE conversation and someone says they're a Christian, it's the almost an immediate response on my part to be like, oh, okay, cool. Which denomination?
Or which flavor? Yeah.
Exactly.
Right.
The benefit of doing Christian? That is I'm trying to separate the person from the belief, not in terms of like, hey, I want you to believe something else, but I want you to realize you are not a personification of your belief. You are a person that is subscribed to a belief, and there are varieties of flavors of that belief. So which one did you pick among the many others that you didn't pick? I want to remind them that by asking them, oh, what kind of denomination? Typically what I get is, I mean, if they aren't a hardcore, like, First Adventist or a Seventh-day Adventist or a Baptist or something, they'll say, oh, I'm non-denominational. Which, I'm like, oh,
yeah, that's a church now. That's a denomination now. A non-denominational is a denomination.
Yeah, it's like, I'm non-denominational. The best denominational. So I'll be like, okay, so which parts do you follow? I try to get as specific as possible because it helps them realize, okay, there might be other people who have my same label as non-denominational Christian who agree with completely other tenets than I do. And we may have complete disagreements on the nature of our gods.
It's interesting. I was just going to say, I just pulled up how many, I just typed in number of Christian denominations in the United States, 200.
No way. There's way more.
I would think there were way more.
Yeah,
than
I would
that.
Count the number of streets in America.
Well, 200 is still a pretty high number.
Yeah, it's still a high number, but it's way, like, I want you to drive just to my commute. My work is like maybe about 7 minutes away from here. I can tell you how to drive to work based on the names of the churches that you have to drive past.
Yeah. So like, do a search for unique church names.
Oh.
Well, true.
Yeah.
Like you
all
have
these all these denominations has made me wonder. I wonder if there's a different statistic we could look at as atheists that say there's a different there's a mode that we all agree to as atheists that I wonder if outnumbers all the different individual, you know, philosophies and worldviews of individual people around, whereas atheists tend to agree at least somewhat that, you know, science seems to be what we're going by, right, the latest and greatest information. So I just wonder if the numbers would be skewed if we were to say, put all the atheists in one group and then put all these individual people who agree and all these don't agree on all these other different little things and see how the numbers turn out to be.
That might be a good that might be a good scaling question in SE is you know, determine the degree of confidence in, you know, God and then a degree of confidence in science and just have those as counterpoints in any discussion you have.
Yeah, I'd like to see that discussion.
Yeah, this is actually a really nice segue. I'm wondering, Campfire Convo, I was going to say, like, the idea of having to call yourself atheist in the first place is something that it seems like a weird concept. You mind touching on that?
Sure. I think it's something that echoes Dawkins or somebody that I heard at some point about. It doesn't bother me. It's not necessarily it's a label that I think we should all use just to show numbers and to show that, hey, we're out here and it's okay to be. Sure. But that being said, why does it even exist to begin with? And I'm not an A Bigfootist. I'm not an A anything else that doesn't exist ist. And so what's the purpose of the word and why does it have such negative connotation? And if it does, I wonder if there's a better word out there that could be, you know, that could be grown into showing that I believe in science or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Free thinking. Free thinker is obviously a good one. But then I just wonder if the scales were to tip to where there are more people that were non-believers, if then we would have to go around calling people theists. Oh, I'm a theist, you know, 100 years from now.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, there's one of those guys that's a theist, and that's kind of the minority in the future.
Sure.
Or like, I think. Sorry, I'm just coming in here.
Have you guys heard about the Brights?
Yeah.
Because the Brights are, you know, taking the atheist term and trying to put it in a better frame.
Yeah.
You guys heard a
decade now.
Mm-hmm.
David Silverman, who was the president of American Atheists, a few years ago was part of the Reason Rally in D.C. I don't know if anyone's ever had a chance to go to either one of those, but I happened to go in, I guess it was 2016, and he was speaking. And one of his biggest points really, really struck me, because everybody was up there talking about atheism and free thought and all this, and they're really preaching to the choir. But he got up there and he said, "Knock it off, you dummies. We all need," he's like, "we need to all rally under one name. You've got to stop this bickering over, I'm an atheist, well, I'm a humanist, and I'm a free thinker.
Yeah.
Well, I'm an agnostic.
I'm a rationalist. I'm a realist.
I'm a 5.7 on the Dawkins scale." It's like, shut up. All of you are the same type of, and we need a name for it. I don't even care what you guys want to call it. Give it a name, and let's stick with it, because politically, it would give us so much more power.
Right. And doesn't it sound exactly like different denominations of a certain Christianity?
Yes, it does, of course.
Exactly. I think Larry said it best, like, trying to make a group out of atheists is sort of like herding a group of cats.
Yes.
But
exactly.
On a more fundamental level, we just because you're a theist is someone that believes in something, and an atheist is just someone that doesn't believe in something, but could believe in so many other things that aren't tied to that label. So, like, on the idea of whether or not we believe a God exists, we are all firmly there, but, you know, beyond that, it could be like, hey, I think Marvel movies are the best movies of all time. Hey, I think women should drive pickup trucks only. I think Jeep Wranglers are the best cars. Like, it could be completely different things.
Yeah.
I don't think cheap rhinos are the best things, by the way. I'm just going to put that out there.
It's this tendency to be identified as something you're not, right?
Right.
I've been a part of many nonprofits, and I think, why are we calling ourselves by something we're not? I've been trying to make a shift to changing that designation to public benefit organizations as opposed to nonprofits, just because we might as well be known for what we are rather than what we're not. Same with the atheist thing.
Yeah, but churches are nonprofits. Theoretically, they just fall under a different code.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So calling atheism a religion is like calling bald a hair color.
Right.
Yeah, or off a TV channel.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Calling bald a hair color.
I'm going to throw one last thing out. So, Campfire Combo, you had mentioned that it is important for people to know that you're an atheist. Why would that be the case as far as, like, not on a political level, but, like, maybe on a, you know, guy on the street, neighborhood sort of a thing?
Why is the label have an impact on the street?
For a person who doesn't plan on running for politics, votes only for the president, you know, once every 4 years, why does letting other people know that they're an atheist a big deal if they are in fact one?
Because of the very incorrect assumptions that people make, perhaps those bought that were convinced of what an atheist is in a church or something that's completely inaccurate.
Right.
So it's a problem.
It's a negative connotations.
Right. Connotation. It's a problem with connotation and how do we switch that label to being something positive. And that's what I love about street epistemology is that at the end of the conversation, say, please feel free to ask me anything that you want. And this should not be a one way, you know, thing. And then when they do, and I express my lack of belief in gods or something, I express it in that manner. And there is a difference when you say the word atheist, and it's just almost like unless it's just in my head, and I just think that, but it seems to be that there's a difference when you say I'm a non-believer, or on that scale of 0 to 100, I'm on the very low end of it, right, or something like that. And I found that saying it and presenting the sort of definition of it without saying the word has been beneficial to the openness of the conversation for
absolutely.
The rest of it. If I say the word atheist, it's almost there might be a shutdown from my interlocutor to say, "Whoa, I didn't know you were an atheist this whole time. Did you worship the devil, or you know, whatever?"
Can I throw one thing out?
Eat babies.
Can I throw one thing out? I've actually been experimenting, just starting the conversation with saying, "Hey, I'm an atheist. Let's talk about blah blah blah," and that helped a lot when I was on. Boudreaux actually invited me to do some setups at the University of Kentucky. And the first half, I think I started the conversation with, like, "Hey, I'm low on the scale." But then afterwards, I'm just like, "Hey, I'm an atheist. Let's talk." I got a couple of theists to, like, respond really positively to that because they saw it as an opportunity for them to explain more about where they're coming from. And I was like, cool. At least now we're on the same, you know, level of, like, you know where I'm at. There might be some baggage with your interpretation of that word, but we can work from here. And I think it's not something that we have to be I don't want to say ashamed, but like inhibited towards saying, because it doesn't break down the conversation nearly as much as I originally anticipated. And in fact, now, he does his stand with a sign that says "Talk to an atheist."
Ask an atheist, right?
And
you know, when we sit down at the table, we know what the subject's going to be, and usually they bring it first.
Right.
I just wonder, you know, like, when you mentioned that you just say, "I'm an atheist," because isn't, you know, sometimes we unpack through SE what people mean about things.
Oh, absolutely.
Isn't it kind of like important to establish terms of reference so that, you know, a person's clear on, or that we're talking about atheism in the same way, or that it has the same meaning for both of us?
I also think it's worthwhile just experimenting and trying things just to see where they might end up, because we might save ourselves a lot of time if the general consensus from an ultra theist is that, "Oh, atheist, well, you're talking to me really nice. Maybe you're not what I originally anticipated. Let's just see where we're going with this." And I've had
That's why I like the definition first, is to ease them into it to where definition. I get it. But then you drop the atheist towards the end, and they go, and then at some point later on, maybe they correlate, oh, that guy's definition, it came first, and then you said he was an atheist. Oh, that's what an atheist is. But if you say the word atheist first, it seems like right. maybe they become more shut, they shut down, or they don't want to open their eyes or ears to what I have to say.
I've gone to Sunday assemblies and the one in Nashville, and I sit up there, and I talk to people who've gone to that. It's a Sunday assembly, by the way, is like a church for... it's not a church. It's a congregational meeting of people who aren't religious once a month. It feels like a church, but it actually is way better than a church because the music's way better.
but well, they sit and they stand and they pass the plate and have people talk.
Yep. Yeah. And it'll be like science lectures and stuff like that. It's really, really cool. But I've talked to some of the congregation members who are married to atheists, wouldn't have an issue being called atheists, but don't recognize themselves with that A word.
And, it really gets me. I've talked to people many times, and they say, well, I don't believe in God, but I'm not an atheist.
Boom! You took the words right from me. That's exactly what I said.
And, you know, so, well, what do you think the word means? Mm-hmm. And sometimes they say, well, somebody who's actively working against religion, somebody who's an anti-theist, and all this other stuff.
Militant.
And we really just need to redeem the word.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It'll take years, and it has taken years, but we've gotten it this far. We need to continue.
I for one just went out and on Twitter I'm center atheist. I just decided to heck with it, and I agree with that sentiment. Like, let's just get it out there,
right?
So you know, why not? Just the more people that come out and say this is exactly what I am, I'm not hiding around it, things like that. But and conversationally, I found it to be useful to go with the definition first, but on social media and stuff, I'm like, boom, here I am, an atheist. So, forget it. Yeah,
a way to destigmatize the word, right?
Right.
I found also a really useful way is to use Reed's, he has like a slider scale. So it's a nonverbal way of expressing how confident you are with something.
Mm-hmm.
And the slider goes from black on one side to white. It's a continuum. And you can move a needle up and down on this black and white scale and say, hey, how confident are you that a God exists? And you can scroll all the way up to the white as like, I'm absolutely confident, all the way to the black is like not. But you don't have to say it. You can just point to the scale like, where are you if this is yes and this is no?
I think you need to use two colors.
Actually, reverse them and just see what the response is.
Yeah, why not? Like, let's try that. Whoa, Gary, I got comments for you.
Zero confident.
Zero. but anyway, I found that to be really useful because immediately after someone like goes off the scale on one side or the other, you can just show that you're in the middle and be like, this is where I'm at. It's like, I'm not here on one side. I'm not here on this other side saying that it doesn't. I'm literally here right here in the middle. Like, you mind having a conversation about that? And people will be like, oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, I can see why you're there. Actually, that makes a lot of sense. And then we can move forward. It's really cool.
Yeah.
It's a nice way of doing it.
Yeah, I like that.
I would just encourage people to just keep trying new things. We got to figure out what sticks. This is like a weird little science thing. We can't get too comfortable saying like, hey, I'm always going to do it this one way. I like Campfire Convo's willingness to always experiment. Dread Pirate, I love Chats Over Coffee, where you have like way more intimate conversations that are much longer with people who already know you. I found doing SE was always challenging with someone who isn't a complete stranger, and you're really pioneering the area of like, this guy already knows me, let's have a conversation about their beliefs, because that is something that a lot of people are interested in, because they always want to get into SE to talk to their friends and especially their family. And then, Larry, you're a salty dog. You're there.
I'm a salty dog. I was a Navy guy.
But you infuse a much more direct approach with really, really useful questions. And I think that shows that, hey, SE isn't just one flavor. It's a spice you can add into a method that you're already using and for much benefits. And let's just keep practicing and keep doing cool things. We got five minutes.
Can't wait for warmer weather.
I know.
Yeah, exactly.
So in Reed just keeps posting videos of his talks in UCLA. It's like 70s over there. It's sunlight and just beautiful. Yeah. We've had sleet and no sunlight for like the last, I don't know, month and a half here. It sucks. Anyway, let's close the show. Campfire Combo, where can we find your stuff and what's some things you want to say before we head out?
Well, I do want to say that I'm about to head out to the park right now here in Texas because it is 70 degrees outside. and beautiful. Yeah, Campfire Combo is my YouTube channel. Look this weekend if anybody's interested in joining Discord and helping me ask questions to one of my good friends who is pretty religious, and I want to have him in the I'm going to have him in the backyard around my campfire set up, my nice. Fire pit. And yeah, we're going to have Discord ask questions and have a moderator. It should be a good time. So hop on Discord. And under my Lauren video is where you can find the link to the Discord invite if you do. If you'd like to join.
Cool. And I'll personally put a link into Campfire Combo stuff. Really, really good stuff. And I recommend more people check it out. So subscribe. We've got to support our boys. All right. Speaking of, Dreadpire Higgs, what's your channel?
Yes.
And where can people find you?
My channel is Mind Pirate. I'm up on YouTube. I haven't done anything just in the last couple of weeks simply because of the weather. It's been crappy up here as well. I've got some videos up there, and my friend and myself are putting up a podcast. So we're going to be starting that here within the next 2 or 3 weeks.
Is it a Pastafarian podcast?
Pardon me?
Is it a Pastafarian podcast?
No, it's going to be around SE. So.
Make it about Pastafarian. All right.
Yep. It's a bit more intimate, like, you know, it's just essentially expanding on what I already do by inviting more people to sit around the table and just have these conversations live.
Very nice. I think, Gary, you're like one of the few religious people sticking with SE. I've always invited Christians to try it out. Mm-hmm, they always drop out. They're just like, this makes me really uncomfortable. Anyway, it's Mind Pirate with a Y, right, on YouTube?
That's correct. Mind Pirate, yeah. Okay.
I also think that if you search on YouTube for Chats Over Coffee,
just Chats like Over that, Coffee,
you will find a couple of thumbnails that show, you know, either a coffee mug or two people talking. Definitely click those and you'll see some really good conversations going on.
Yeah.
Boudreaux.
Yes.
I don't know if you put out anything, but I don't know that there's an upcoming summit. Do you want to talk about like what we should be excited for or generally what people can do to set up their own?
So the you can reach me at, I'm basically my only presence probably on Facebook. Just search Eric Green, find one in Kentucky, send me a invite. I'll talk to anyone.
Nice.
I'm friends with you on Facebook.
It's true.
I'll be friends with anyone, obviously. I do actually have a few videos posted on YouTube for my band, Arizona Bay. If you're into that thing, we cover Tool songs. So, yeah. but the summit. So, anybody on this channel is welcome to join. Just send me a message, either through the Facebook Messenger or the way I send it to find me. And we are toying with the idea, Ty. I think we're going to try it with you. It'll be the first. February 1st is Saturday.
I think either if you opened up a channel on Discord and just had like an open laptop nearby, or like even just made this group call, you know, on a speakerphone, that would work just as well, and we wouldn't have an issue just listening in and seeing how things go.
I may talk to you guys about Discord, and I'm not really fooled with it, but I think that might be a good way of doing it. I would like to make it not public.
Right.
Maybe you have to invite. Yeah, that would be good. And the other thing is we want to make sure that no one's recording on the other end.
Exactly. I'm sure people wouldn't, I think Discord gives you moderating tools to help you not be able to record the conversation over Discord, but you'd also only invite people who are cool with that, you know, are cool and that won't try to record the conversation. So. And you can be the admin on that. It'd help.
I just sent Eric Green a friend request on Facebook, so I'm looking forward to that.
I will review it and make my decision. But if you want to start your own summit, you guys are all doing even more interesting things. But for others that may be listening, you know, hit me up if you're interested in some pointers. We have the don't, you know, proselytize, punch, provoke kind of thing. Just... We've uninvited a few people just because they didn't get along.
Right.
But
like a Staples button that acts sort of like, there's a lot of really cool little useful tools that are used at this event. It's not just
a button that says naughty, naughty, naughty. Anyone gets that along.
Okay. And I'll wrap up by saying, hey, thank you guys so much for coming by and listening to the show. If you are a listener, thank you so much. You can check out my stuff. It's called Let's Chat. It's a channel where I believe I can talk to anyone about anything, and so can you. And you can find that at Let's Chat on YouTube. And thank you so much for all your support.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Thanks. Thanks for having us.
And this is Daughter 5. Be sure to visit digitalfreethought.com and click on the blog button. You can find past shows there. You can also find them on podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, podcast.com, iHeart.com, as well as digitalfreethought.com. If you have any questions for the show, send them by email to askanatheist@knoxvilleatheist.org.
Nice.
And we'll find them. Everybody, as a reminder, everybody's going to somebody else's hell.
I thought you were going to switch it up. I thought it was going to be a nice
hell. Okay, all right. Somebody somewhere thinks you're going to their hell, so don't sweat it. Time to worry about it is when they prove that souls and heavens and hells are real. Until then, don't sweat it and enjoy your life.
Cool.
Daughter 5 and crew signing off till next Wednesday at 7 o'clock. Hope to see you then. Say bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye.